It's hour number two. It's Extra 1360. I'm Darren Smith. We're taking you up into the Loose Cannons at 3 p.m. Jay Stengel are going to speak in about 15 minutes or so. So let's get to Dennis Lynn. Dennis Lynn with The Athletic.
We heard Dennis, come on, bring the heat. Dennis, come on, bring the heat.
Come on, man. Bring the heat, Dennis. Come on, Dennis, bring the heat. Dennis Lynn, you can read at The Athletic, and you should follow him on Twitter. Most of you already do that. Dennis, you going to bring the heat today or what?
Hey, Darren, I don't think I brought the heat on that last one. I think Blake Snell is being kind to me and AJ Casville, but I will take it.
He was kind, wasn't he? What happened there? I mean, walk us through it. We went through this in great detail yesterday. I mean, this was like a John Boy production. But what was going on from your vantage point? You're in the press box. Blake Snell's just about wrapped up. He's done with his Zoom press conference here. All of a sudden, what?
Well, I think AJ and I were the only two who did have our cameras on for this Zoom, who hadn't asked questions at that point. And he must have been paying some pretty close attention, because he took notice. And when he was presumably supposed to be done and Padres PR was ready to wrap it up and send him home, or sent him to the airport, he took a second to call us out, because he saw that we were just kind of chilling in the background.
So you guys had your cameras on so he could see your faces. You didn't just put your names up there. See, that's how I avoid that sort of detection. I don't want anybody calling on me. So much like when we were all in school, Dennis, Blake Snell called on you because he could see you, and he didn't want to let the day go without making sure that you had asked a question. How'd you feel like you did in that moment?
Yeah, well, that was kind of the feeling of like getting called on in school when you're not expecting it. But I thought AJ asked a good question. I don't know about myself, but he's a good hype man. I guess he hyped up our questions, which were, in my opinion, very ordinary.
What was your backup? You went with a Ryan Weathers question yesterday. Was that first and foremost, or you had a second to think about it because AJ jumped in there first? What was the backup question? What else were you thinking? If you could do it over again, would you still ask about Ryan Weathers, or would you go a different route?
I would still ask about Ryan Weathers. I had no backup, so I was all in on Ryan Weathers at that point.
That's good.
Fellow lefty. Yeah. He had just talked about rotation, hadn't mentioned Ryan Weathers, so occurred to me that might be a decent topic. And, yeah, he had some decent thoughts. He always has some decent thoughts on everything, it seems like. So it's been a nice addition, to the San Diego media landscape. I know people don't really care about the media, but it's pretty rare you come across an athlete who seems to enjoy doing these Zooms. And I think Blake Snell is probably in the top 1% among MLB or even just U.S. professional athletes in that regard.
Well, you know, I know what you're saying about nobody cares about the media, right? Like, nobody cares about us and us talking about how difficult at times this could be. But, you know, I think what stood out to me about this, if I am going to try to take any sort of serious angle on it, Dennis, is we've had plenty of athletes who don't really care to do this sort of thing. And they make it very clear that they're not interested in doing this sort of stuff. And it's not that it impacts you and what you do at The Athletic or me on Extra 1360, but that's access that fans then are deprived of. So, you know, Blake Snell very much understands that this now turns into something not that just benefits you or AJ or me or anybody else here in local media, but now the fans get an opportunity to learn a little bit about this guy and see what his personality is. And I think that there is something to be said for that.
I totally agree. And, you know, he could take this the route of you guys don't need anything extra on these Zooms. I'm on Twitch all the time. At least I think he is, and he shares his thoughts freely there. But no, he seems to be pretty consistent in terms of being open with anyone, whether it's the media or, you know, fans online. So, you know, props to him.
Absolutely. Dennis Lynn from The Athletic is joining us on Extra 1360. I half jokingly said, Dennis, right before we were wrapping up hour number one, I feel like I'm a bad talk show host because I can't come up with any hot take here as to what it is that we've seen over 7 days. I can't huff and puff about Tommy Pham or about Paddock yet. But, you know, through 7 games here, is there anything really good, bad that stood out to you? The club is 4-3. They start their first road trip tonight. There's only 155 more games to go. Is there anything good or bad that really, really jumped out at you here through the first homestand of the 2021 season?
To start with the bad, I think it's actually pretty clear. I mean, the defense needs cleaned up, and most of the errors that they committed, I think, might still be a league-high 8 errors. Are attributed to Fernando Tatis, who, you know, is also part of the bad, just him being hurt and not really knowing his status for the rest of the season, even when he comes back, if he comes back, how that's going to pan out. But yeah, the defense is something that they think is supposed to be their strength, which has not been their strength at all, and it's kind of ruined the good, which is the pitching. The pitching has been really strong, especially in the bullpen. You know, you're not going to get that, you know, that phase all season where things are going to line up with good pitching, good defense, good offense. Right now, they're seemingly are only getting one of those. So you want to take advantage of that, especially with workload so uncertain this season. Then these guys seem to be starting off pretty well overall. So, you know, pitching's good. Defense is bad. not a very nuanced take there, I guess. But, yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it is, you know, and you know, with such a small sample size of seven games, I know people would want a little bit more here, but gosh, it's such a long season. That said, though, Dennis, the expectations, right? Like, and that this team has very clearly said it thinks it could have the best offense in Major League Baseball. It should be a playoff contender. The owner came on this radio station a week ago and said how he defines the season is as a World Series winner. And from that standpoint, do you get the sense, you know, internally maybe, do we need to rewire ourselves in terms of, yeah, these things are big deals. If you lose a series to the San Francisco Giants at home, it is a big deal and it should be treated as a big deal because, you know, this is a team now in a season that carries with it much greater expectations than ever before.
Yes and no, because you don't want to look back, say, several months from now and regret one or two games slipping away and costing you something in terms of October. But at the same time, they are going back to 162. So you need to, I think, broaden the lens from that perspective that this is definitely no longer, you know, dash to the finish line, 60 game dash to the finish line. So yeah, from that standpoint, they're also approaching the season very differently. You know, sitting Eric Hosmer after you had two really hot starts to the season or two really hot games to start the season, and they immediately sit them, and they're, you know, not letting guys like Blake Snell pitch deeper than five innings quite yet based on, you know, game circumstances and pitch counts. So I think you have to keep that in perspective too. But yeah, it's fair to expect, you know, a lot more than the Padres usually have expectations for this year, just because, yeah, the owner came out and said it. They expect to win a World Series this year, but they also expect to try to compete for a World Series the next few years. So it's, I guess patience is also, you know, warranted here in that they, this isn't a, you know, one-off go for it all type of season. If they don't win the World Series, I don't think anyone's going to be surprised. I think it's just fair to expect that they're going to make the playoffs or hope that they're going to make the playoffs and hopefully make a deep run.
Dennis Lynn from The Athletic is joining us on Extra 1360. The story of the first homestand, obviously, was Fernando Tatis Jr. And like you said, first it was the five errors and it was lack of offense and was he pressing? And then we find out that there's a much bigger storyline going on with Fernando Tatis Jr. I guess looking back, Dennis, was this predictable that we would find ourselves in this situation at some point, right? Was it a question of if we would find ourselves in a moment like this with Fernando Tatis Jr., or was it a question of when we would find ourselves in this situation?
If you listen to doctors who haven't treated or diagnosed them personally, and just looking at what's out there, what's been public, the May 13th slide into home plate in the spring training game where he kind of jarred that left shoulder. And then 10 days later when he either subluxed or did something with that shoulder again, and then, you know, this coming less than 2 weeks later where he takes a swing, another non-contact, you would, I guess, call a very routine play, and you know, that shoulder comes out of the socket again. Yeah, this is pretty predictable. It's funny to me looking back. Actually, I thought about this the other day. I think this is either 2014 or 2013. Tyson Ross's first major league hit, speaking of pitchers hitting this year, by the way, he subluxed his left shoulder. So same shoulder as Tatis, non-throwing shoulder. And I don't think we ever heard about him having a problem with it again. After that, he came back, I think, a month or two later and then went on to have a very good season that year and the next 2 years. So, yeah, sometimes these things happen once and they go away. But with Tatis, it's been multiple times, multiple episodes. Now, just from the way doctors describe it, there's different severity or degrees of severity for each one of these episodes. And it seems like his last one was pretty moderate, at least. And, you know, he has some slight labral tearing, either from that incident or I'm guessing maybe even before from prior incidents. So, yeah, it's, you know, health with health and injuries. You know, future predictors of injury are, you know, current or past injuries. So something like this and a very insecure joint in the shoulder, that's going to be probably a topic for a long time afterward, you know, regardless of whether he needs surgery or not. And I think a lot of people are of the mind that eventually he's probably going to need surgery just because, you know, he's got a lot of long career ahead of him and you want to stabilize the most unstable joint in the body, to just to give him those best chance of success.
Do you think the Padres know what they can reasonably expect from Tatis Jr. for the remainder of 2021? Like, do you think deep down that they know one way or the other that he will be available, or he'll be in and out, or, you know, this probably isn't going to work? Do you think that the Padres themselves, is it possible for them physically, based on all the research now we've all done on this subject here, do you think they actually know what the future is, the immediate future is for Fernando Tatis Jr.?
I think they definitely expect him to get back on the field, whether that's in the 10-day minimum or maybe sometime after that. They just don't know what to expect after that, because it's very possible, as AJ Preller said the other day, that this happens again. And at that point, they would probably have to consider surgery. But it's also possible, like in the case of Tyson Ross, that this doesn't come back, or, you know, he manages to play through some minor things that we don't hear about. But yeah, they don't know what to expect. And they're also talking about, you know, kind of changing the way he plays, whether that's maybe going to a two-handed finish on his swing, which in theory doesn't sound that hard, or maybe just using that a little more often. But there's going to be a lot of attention paid on, you know, just the way he plays the game. So, you know, that could affect his performance even if he stays on the field. So they're very curious too, how this pans out. And I don't think anyone could predict when the next time he's going to have a shoulder instability episode is. They just know that it's a distinct possibility.
Yeah, Preller said as much here in his press conference the other day. I wonder, Dennis, have you heard anything about what the plan might be for, and you said in theory it sounds like a simple thing to do, to maintain a two-handed swing or change the way you slide or potentially the way you field. Is that something that they're figuring out here on the fly?
Well, there are some things they talked about with him in the past before. I think now that, you know, he had this incident where he you know, went down in a lot of pain from just one swing on the field, maybe that gives him more impetus to actually embrace some of these things. But yeah, I think it's going to be a learn-as-you-go kind of thing. They're not going to completely overhaul his game, obviously, and tagging up from third or sliding head first to home is just a small part of his game. It's a very visible, very exciting part of his game. So I think it's maybe not as drastic as we're imagining it to be, but at the same time, it is going to be you know, a very major adjustment, just trying to keep him on the field for the rest of the season, if that's even a possibility. Because yeah, they have to be mindful of these things and trying to minimize, you know, even diving in at shortstop, diving on defense, going to the ground. They're going to try to minimize that to an extent, or just try to have them in better positions to protect that shoulder. So it's going to be pretty interesting adjustment, I think. And I don't think they know as well on this how that's going to all turn out this year.
Right. And I wonder, like, at what percentage are you okay with Fernando Tatis Jr.? You know what I mean? Like if you feel like you're not getting 100% of him, what is good enough? You know, what is good enough to maintain and keep him here as an integral part of the day in, day out lineup, and you know, being in there and being a starter for the team, being a contributor for the team?
Yeah, I do. I think I do understand the kind of thinking here with, if it's not, you know, major labral damage and you're looking at the time of the year, it's beginning of the season. Let's say, you know, he comes back 2 weeks from now and, you know, that shoulder comes out again and a few days after that and he has to undergo surgery. That doesn't really change anything as far as the timeline for coming back next season, you would think, in theory. Now, this surgery isn't, you know, 100% guaranteed to work, but if he gets it, but, you know, most times it works, and it's like, you know, 4 to 6 months in a lot of cases, or a little more than that. But if you just look at the time of the year right now, if he undergoes surgery now versus, say, a month from now, it's not really going to make a difference as far as his timetable for recovery. So I get why they're not, you know, resorting to the most drastic option right away.
Dennis, we appreciate it. We know Jace Tingler's getting set for a press conference. We will let you focus on your actual job, but we appreciate you taking the time to join us here yet again today. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Great stuff. Keep it up.
Thanks, Darren.
Bring the heat. You got it. Dennis Lynn from The Athletic stopping by here. And you know, Dennis had an interesting note. I saw this on his Twitter timeline, and it stood out to me because you know that I am obsessed with one unfortunate facet of Padres history. And it's not the no-hitter stuff. Others are obsessed with the no-hitter stuff.
Absolutely.
Padres being the last team. And I understand that. I'm not saying that that's not a valid thing to be obsessed with, an unfortunate facet of Padre history. But you know what it is for me, right?
It's usually involves, like, sacrifice flies.
No.
No? That's not it?
It's Nate Colbert.
Oh,
Nate Colbert,
right.
At 163.
I still think...
Still being... the all-time Padres home run leader is Nate Colbert. No. 163, and it's nothing against Nate Colbert. He was a very important part of Padres history, but it's that 163 is the team record. Yeah. If you compare that to every other team in baseball, the Padres have the lowest team record. Now, and it's not really close, and we've had expansion franchises since then.
Right, because they always trade guys when they're, like, close.
Yeah, Adrian was two away. Adrian was at 161.
Where was Nevin Thurr in that
157,
list?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And then I thought...
What? They wouldn't let me break the record?
I remember asking Hunter Renfro one time if he would want to break that record.
You brought up Renfro. You know that he's ninth on the list? Hunter Renfro is ninth on the Padres' all-time home run list.
Yeah. Wow.
You know who's 10th?
Like Khalil Greene?
Chase Adley.
Shut up. Really?
You shut up.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's shocking to me.
What's more shocking? Chase Adley at 10 or Hunter Renfro at 9?
Chase Adley.
Is it?
Yeah, that is.
Really?
Yeah.
Chase Adley.
Hunter Renfro, he's a power hitter. Legitimate power hitter.
Right. Chase Adley you expect he'd get to hit a bunch of home runs. Yeah. Chase Adley. What was his? He was the savior. I mean, the savior's there. He's a top 10 all-time player. But Dennis had an interesting note that with his home run on Wednesday afternoon, that Will Myers has now hit 57 home runs at Petco Park, tying Adrian Gonzalez for the all-time lead.
He might get that record.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Marty. Did you know that Will Myers is sitting on 112 home runs? So if he hits 52 more home runs,
So he could do it in 2 years.
He could do it by the middle of next year.
And when does his contract run out?
It's in like 2030.
Okay, perfect. Will Myers is going to be the first. And then Machado will be there. Then
so Myers is 52 away from breaking the all-time Padres record. Now,
I like his
rapidly gaining ground on this list. Mm-hmm. Is Manny Machado, who's hit 49 home runs as a Padre. 49. He's two behind Eric Hosmer. I'm desperate to have somebody break this record, to set this record. I'm desperate for this. It's been around too long. Like I said, this is nothing against Nate Colbert. Nate Colbert, I've talked a million times with Randy Jones about Nate Colbert.
Okay, you said that Hosmer is two behind Manny Machado.
No, Manny's two behind Hosmer.
Okay.
Manny's going to be ahead of Hosmer by the end.
Hosmer is not going to. Do we all feel confident that Eric Hosmer is not going to opt out of his contract? He is going to have the life of his contract.
I don't know.
You think so?
I don't know about that. I think his contract, if I remember correctly, is only in speaking strictly Major League Baseball. I think contract is only like $10 million or something in the next couple of years afterwards.
He's a free agent in 2026. 8 years, $144 million, all guaranteed.
Front loaded though, right?
Let's see when can he opt out. I don't think he's going to opt out. Wi-Fi issues. Sorry.
I think it was 5 and then 3. And then the 3 were sort of at like 10 to 12 million, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, 2023 goes, you're right, it's front loaded, heavily front loaded, and it goes to 13.
Yeah.
13 in 2023. Well,
and if you think Eric Hosmer's hanging around San Diego for $13 million a year, well, I've got news for you. But I don't think Haas is going to get there. I mean, Manny is going to, think about it already. Haas had a year ahead of Manny, and Manny's only two behind. So I feel like Manny is going to pass Hosmer on the all-time list here. He'll be, my prediction, 10 ahead of him by the end of the year. Right? Fair?
You hope so.
Two behind him now. I would say that Manny's going to be at least 10 ahead of Hosmer by the end of the 2021 season. And we're just, we're not in a position where we can include Fernando Tatis Jr. No. in this conversation.
No.
Now, he might end up as the franchise all-time leader because he's signed for 14 years. But it's not right to have him in this conversation today. Myers, though, at 52 could be the middle of next year. So when do we start the countdown? Or will the Padres figure out a way to trade yet another Padre as they approach this record? The way they did with Adrian Gonzalez, the way they did with Philip Nevin.
Do you think someone with a Padre is determined that Nate Colbert forever holds that record?
Yeah, it sort of feels that way.
It's an inside job. Is he
Is he a special advisor to the general manager? You got to get rid of this Adrian Gonzalez guy. Does he have ownership's year? What's the deal with this?
Yeah.
This record, I've been obsessed with this for years since we did the BP shows in the mid 2000s. I'm desperate to see somebody, as much as you all are obsessed with the no hitter thing, and I get it. I understand it. It's a valid thing to be obsessed with.
I've moved on. I actually
This is bothering me.
I kind of enjoy, if you're going to be the last team to get one, why bother? Just.
Right.
Right. You know, stand alone. Oops.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
You're right.
Shoot.
Huh? Why's your mask on your chin?
I don't know.
Did you just slap the mic?
I did.
It is a little weird getting back in the flow. I must admit.
I'm not used to
it. The chair isn't right. It's not the right height. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know when I keep. I'm nervous as to when I can wear a mask. Who can I talk to?
Now let me ask you another question. Yeah. Should Will Myers be the person to break this record?
Yes.
For all the players that the Padres have had since Nate Colbert, is it just anybody? Anybody should break this. Hunter Renfroe should have broken this. Chase Headley should have broken this. Is Will Myers, we're okay with that.
Will Myers
being on top of the food chain here, on top of the totem pole in Padres history for a period of time.
Yes. Will Myers, to me, represents, he's such a fascinating Padre, because he, to me, represents, Darren, the good and the bad of the Padres. He represents the absolute merry-go-round that this franchise has taken their fans through. Seriously.
Seen a little bit of everything.
You know, he has done everything for the Padres. Played third base, first base, outfield. The guy has done everything. He's been the brunt of criticism. They wanted to trade him. And now he's Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky. He's, in a strange way, he's kind of like this beloved Padre, because he's a goofball, you know, and he's fun and he's just different. He's a different cat. He just is. He's in a way that I can't.
He's got good hair.
He's got great hair.
He's got some personality.
He gives you a soundbite. He's honest to a fault, which I enjoy, which is great. You want that. But no, Will Myers is like the perfect Padre. He is the right guy for that.
He is the right guy to break this record.
Yes.
And he's 52 away. He's 52 away. Now he's going to end up with what, 30 this year?
I think so.
He'll end up with 30 jacks this year. So add on another 30, somewhere thereabouts.
If he doesn't break it, how disappointed are you going to be?
I'm going to be crushed.
This has happened before, Jim.
This is it.
When you were just calling into the Scott and BR show, Marty and I were living this. We've been living this for quite a while. Yeah. We used to do a segment called Three Up and Three Down. That, you know, you might have heard of around town now. But we used to do this segment on a pregame show. Nobody's ever original.
Nobody.
And we used to do that, and it used to say, like, when is somebody going to break Nate Colbert's record?
Yeah.
And we got close. We got close twice. We got close with Deb. We got close with Adrian. And then the organization just decided to go different directions. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So again, nothing. It's nothing against that. It's time. It's time that somebody hits more than 163 home runs as a Padre. My gosh, the Marlins have better records than that. We'll be back on 103.3. Marcus Williams tweets in at D. Smith Show and says, "Where's Carmelo Martinez on the all-time home run list?" Glad you asked, Marcus. He's tied with Steve Finley. 82 home runs hit as a Padre. He's tied for 15th on the all-time list. Anybody else? Any other names you just want to pluck out of thin air and ask me where they are on the all-time list?
Kevin McReynolds? Big Mac.
He's 22nd on the all-time Padre home run list with 65 home runs.
That's it, huh?
That's it.
Where's Ryan Schimpf?
Ryan Schimpf? He's not in the top 50.
Really?
No. Wow. I've got 1 through 50 in front of me. John Kruk is 50th on the list with 36. It goes Colbert, Adrian Gonzalez, Phil Nevin, Dave Winfield, Tony Gwynn, Ryan Klesko is 6th, Ken Caminiti 7th, Will Myers is 8th, Hunter Renfroe is 9th, Chase Headley is 10th.
Bubba Trammell, where is he in the list?
Bubba Trammell? Matt Kemp is 36th on this list. Nick Hundley is 35th on this list. Austin Hedges, all you haters out there, is 32nd on this list.
That's pretty good.
Austin Hedges.
Yeah, where's Francisco Mejia, clowns?
Actually, where is Francisco Mejia?
I don't see Mejia on this list, do you?
No, really, where is he?
He's in Tampa, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, I guess he is.
Coming up on Extra 1360 over the weekend, you can listen to some SDSU baseball. We're going to have a doubleheader tomorrow, San Diego State taking on Nevada. Doubleheader, and then on Sunday, SDSU's facing Nevada again, 1 o'clock. So we got SDSU baseball. This is a good team. This is a ranked team, and they are playing here on Extra 1360 over the weekend. You will hear the dulcet tones. You might remember this guy. His name is some guy named Jordan? I don't know. Jordan Carruth joining us on Extra 1360. Good afternoon, Jordan. How are you?
Hello, D. Smith. Where is Chris Gomez on this list?
Chris Gomez? Let's see. I don't know that he's in the top 50, Slick. Sorry. Got another
just
name?
Just missed the cut.
Yeah, he's not in the top 50. But if you want to pull another name, Cito Gaston's 19th. How many Padre fans went, Cito Gaston played for the Padres? Yeah, that's right. Phil Plantier is 25th on this list. Willie McCovey is 26th on this list. Goodness gracious. What else you got, Jordan?
That's depressing. That's what I have.
Well, that's why we're saying this is a new era now. We need Will Myers to ascend to the top of this list. here sometime by the middle of next season.
I have one more name before we hear from the great Jordan Carruth. Sean Abner.
Not on the top 50. On the list. No, not as good as Yanhervis Solarte at number 28. Whoa, whoa. Love him. Jordan, what's happening? He's the host of the Unnamed Soccer Podcast. You can also hear him all weekend long on Extra 1360. What's happening?
What's happening? I thought I was going to meet you today down at Three Punk Ales. Knocked out some Tacos El Gordo on my way down. Down at Three Punk Ales in Chula Vista enjoying a beverage. I thought I was meeting you down here. Where are you?
Well, I have this job. You know, I think you know exactly what? Where I am. This is why Jordan didn't come with us, so he can go to Chula Vista so that he can go to Three Punk Ales and go to Tacos El Gordo. I think you chose very, very well.
Yeah, I thought I would see you, but I guess I'll just have to drink the beer by myself and listen to the show.
Well,
and
you can bring some up this way.
On the show, who used to call into other programs back in the day. That was an amazing little tidbit we learned earlier.
But another nice revelation from Jim Russell there. We appreciate that. Jordan, you ever call into a sports radio show back in your day?
I did not, actually. I'm the only one, apparently, who did it.
Yeah, Marty used to be a frequent caller to the Loose Cannons. Jim used to call Scott and BR. Jordan Carruth was too cool for school. He wouldn't be bothered dialing up a sports radio show. You didn't even listen to sports radio, did you?
The AM radio?
Right. What the hell's that? Come on,
what
man.
Is that?
Wait. Did you ever text into a radio show?
Did I ever text? No, I did not text into a radio show. I think by the time that we could actually text into a radio show, I was already working at a radio station, which I think started when I was like 16 or something. So.
That's true. We violated some child labor laws over there. No doubt about that. What's happening with SDSU baseball this weekend? We're going to hear a lot of you, huh?
Yeah, so we have a doubleheader tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're at Tony Gwynn Stadium. The Aztecs are ranked number 17 in the country. There are several different college baseball polls. I'm going to go ahead and use College Baseball Nation, Darren, because they have the Aztecs ranked number 17 in the country. I thought pitching would be the best part of the team coming in. I think the coaches would even have told you that the pitching was expected to be the best part of the team coming into this season. Turns out the offense has been not just really, really good, but the absolute best in the country. Currently, San Diego State has the best batting average out of any college baseball team right now. They're number one. The team's hitting .335 collectively. They're scoring more than 9 runs a game, and they still have very, very good pitching. So that kind of combination that they have here in 2021 has worked out quite well. They're first place in the Mountain West. They need to win the regular season this year. There is no tournament afterwards. There's no conference tournament to decide who will represent the Mountain West and regional. So they need to win the regular season, and they're off to a very good start. They just need to finish strong.
Well, people can say whatever they want to say about batting average in modern analytical terms. But that said, when you say that, Jordan, and you tell me that Tony Gwynn's San Diego State Aztecs are leading the Mountain West Conference in batting average at .335, which is right there where his career batting average was, man, that sent chills down my spine thinking about that little tidbit that you just shared with us.
Yeah, it's good. And it's not just the Mountain West. They have the best batting average in the country.
Oh,
out of any conference. So they're number one overall. They're number three overall in the entire country in runs per game. They're scoring more than 9. So they are right at the top, not just in the Mountain West, but if you're looking at the entire landscape of college baseball, they're putting up some pretty big numbers, and they have really good pitching. We've chatted about Troy Melton before. He is coming off a start last weekend. He's been playing game 2 of the doubleheaders. They're starting him in the second game to kind of give him an entire game to watch the other team and then kind of take notes, and then he gets to go attack them in game 2. His last outing for Troy Melton, he hit 98 miles per hour 7 different times. It's the first time he's been clocked at 98 this year, and he was able to do it, like I said, 7 different times. So I've heard that many GMs around Major League Baseball have been calling around the program this week to learn a little bit more about Troy Melton, who we knew he's the one that had all the scouts and continues to have all the scouts in the building. Aztecs had a capacity at 40 scouts in a game a couple weeks ago earlier in the year, and they had to turn away scouts. It was for this pitcher. It's for Troy Melton, and he'll go game 2 tomorrow. The guy going game 1, Michael Paredes, all about San Diego. He's from San Diego. He went to San Diego High, a massive Padres fan. Likes to make fun of the Dodgers on Twitter, so that's always a lot of fun. Michael Paredes will start
until he gets
game
drafted
1.
By the Dodgers, by the way.
What's that?
Until he gets drafted by the Dodgers someday.
he's actually best friends with Troy Melton, so the Aztecs have something really, really cool in these doubleheader days, which is different this season because it's a compacted schedule, so they're just trying to jam in as many games as possible. So we're getting a ton of doubleheaders, and these two are like best friends on the team, and they get to attack the same day. multiple games. It's been a lot of fun. They've been very good in doubleheader days. Michael Paredes hasn't lost a game one of a doubleheader since early March. So it's been four in a row for him. Aztecs have won every single series they've played so far this year. They're coming off their first sweep, so they're getting even better. So it's been a really, really fun start for them. They have to win the regular season championship, so they got to do something they haven't done in a while, and they're in a really good position to pull it off.
Yeah, so tell us then. I don't have the standings in front of me, because it sounds obviously they're off to a really, really good start if they're ranked 17th in the country and they're leading the nation in hitting, and they've got these pitchers that are drawing in scouts from all across the sport. So where are they? They're on top of the standings, but what sort of position are they in?
They've created some space, which is nice. They only have one conference home series left. They're going to finish their season on the road a lot, and a part of that is because they had to switch their home and away with Air Force earlier in the year because of weather. Air Force was expected to host a series earlier this season, but now the Aztecs have to travel to Air Force in the second to final series. So they're going to finish on the road. They've created some space. They have a multiple-game lead in the Mountain West. They just swept New Mexico. And they really did some serious damage to the Lobos last weekend because the Lobos were kind of just teetering around 500 in the conference, and then the Aztecs took three games from them last weekend, including a mercy rule 15-0 final score last Sunday. They couldn't even complete the game because the Aztecs scored so many runs, so they just stopped that one. And then game one of the doubleheader, the Aztecs offense came alive in the bottom of the ninth. They scored six runs in the bottom of the ninth without a single out being recorded, by the way, to come back and win. And they pulled a massive upset in that first game. They carried it over into game two. And then New Mexico hardly even showed up on Sunday, and they lost 15-0. So they're coming off their first sweep. They created space in the Mountain West in the standings. And so now it's kind of up to them just to finish the job.
All right. So you're on the air tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Now, you're doing both days? You're doing the doubleheader tomorrow, then Sunday? Or is Jafer involved in some capacity? What's the breakdown here?
You'll have John Schaefer on Sunday. You'll have myself tomorrow for the doubleheader.
Okay. All right. Well, what are you doing Sunday that you're unavailable?
I am doing USD men's soccer, Darren.
Hmm. Look at you just bouncing out, horn back and forth between
the
schools.
We had a broadcast on the schedule already.
Okay. All right. All right. So that's why Jafer needed the equipment here today. Now that makes a lot of sense. Okay. I got that. You said that the team was turning away scouts. Any idea who they've been turning away? Wasn't the Padres,
yeah,
was it?
Dodger scouts.
Yeah.
Right?
I think I told you last time, I think they turned away a Dodger scout.
Oh, really?
Wow.
They turned away a Dodger scout. Now, there were still other Dodger scouts. You can only just bring so many, right? So the capacity is 40. Turned away a Dodger scout, and I believe the other team, Tampa Bay Rays, had to be turned away. At least one of their scouts had to be turned away. But it sounds like the coaching staff down at SDSU have received a lot of phone calls this week from Major League Baseball GMs or people working around Major League Baseball teams.
All right, good. Look forward to you working that into your broadcast coming up tomorrow. Doubleheader, man. Stay hydrated. Drink some caffeine. You know, you got to get a good night's sleep here.
That's why I'm at Three Punk Ales, Darren. I'll see you soon.
Who do you like tomorrow, Real Madrid or Barcelona?
I like Barcelona. I like Lionel Messi to score not just once, but I think he's going to score twice. I think we get a brace for Messi in his final Clasico.
Oh,
so
you
sad.
Jerk. Why did you have to say it that way? We were going so well until that last line. You just had to get that last little dig in there. Okay, well, we'll talk about it next week on the Unnamed Soccer Podcast. Jordan, have an excellent weekend of broadcasts.
Thank you, crew.
Thank you. Tell everybody at Three Punk Ales we said hello. I love that spot down there in Chula Vista. That's Jordan Carruth, everybody, who you will hear on your radio upcoming this weekend. Good job by San Diego State, by the way. I'm sure it was just the way it fell into place. But good job for them turning away some Dodger scouts.
Just, yeah, the irony. I mean, you've got to get those credentials in early, the press early. There's demand.
Damn right.
It's funny how that pans out.
Hit the road, Jack. Yeah. Get on the 5 freeway. Go north. All right, we'll be back with your text message.
I make Wi-Fi from Cox. Let the questions fly.
Is that a serious question?
Time to...
Next question.
Ask Darren.
Such a lame question.
Text us at 70470.
All right, let's go to the texts here. First, though, let's get you ready for summer with a little extra cash. Starting next week, Extra 1360 is going to give you chances to win $1,000. Listen for the keyword. Enter it at sportssd.com. It really is that simple. To the texts, 619 number. Jim, did you say smack it up, flip it up, rub it down, reach around show?
Close. Sounds about right.
619 number has a question for Marty. Marty, do you prefer the not hot douche pitcher with sticky balls or the not hot douche pitcher with scuff marks on his balls?
It's a great question.
That's a very complicated question.
619, number Jim, get ready to buy those Mac Jones NFTs, LOL.
I just can't, Darren. I can't. But I'm going to have to.
You will. And Marty, if you wanted to answer that question, let me know.
On Mac Jones?
Are you going to buy NFTs of Mac Jones for me?
I am still not quite sure what an NFT is. Like, I feel like you have figured it out. I know, but I understand what it stands for. I just don't know exactly what it is.
I don't really understand why anybody would be interested in it.
I don't have a digital wallet either, so. I have nowhere to put it.
619 number saying, yeah, that was Craig Davis, wide receiver, LSU, 2007 draft. Yep, North Turner's first year.
Buster Davis. Every picture I have of him is coming at the field like his hamstring wrapped.
Yeah. 619. Hey, Darren, maybe the question to ask Daniel Jeremiah is, how much do perceived smoke screens affect teams' draft boards? Interesting question. 619, number, hey, Darren, this is actually a serious question about the plant-based stuff. Do you find it really is better for you, or does it have a lot of preservatives in it? You know, it's interesting. It depends. Not that I find myself to be some sort of expert on this. I'm just dabbling in it. But there is something to be said for what purpose it is that you're trying to substitute plant-based stuff for. For instance, you can't just go with a soy-based diet. A lot of these substitute foods are all soy-based, and that's not good for you either. So you really do have to do
soy
a little bit.
Soy is not good for you?
Not in not to the point where you're eating it exclusively, because a lot of the meat substitute stuff is soy-based. So that's not great if you're just doing a bunch of soy-based.
Okay, here's my number one question to you. I know this wasn't a text, but what exactly is in Beyond Meat? Beyond Meat?
Beyond Burger Impossible?
Yeah. What's the main ingredient?
I don't have the thing in front of me. I'll get around to that next week. We'll save that for 2:45 with Jafer.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah, of course. He would know.
No, but there is something to it. It's not as simple as, hey, I'm just going to flip a switch here and I'm going to go to this plant-based stuff. Like, you do have to pay attention to what it is that you're putting in your body, because some of that as a substitute and an exclusive substitute is not good for you either. So, you know, there's a way that you can balance it. That's why we don't go exclusively to it. We still eat fish and shrimp and chicken and all that sort of stuff. 619 number says, you're listening to the Reach Around Show starring Slappy from Eastlake. 619. Marty's calling it. Kim's first dong of 2021 is this weekend.
Yep, feeling it.
Marty's feeling it.
Yeah.
He's playing at shortstop today. He's the starting shortstop for the Padres. Yeah,
Profar at first.
Profar at first. Hosmer is your DH. 619, number. It seems appropriate that the host of the Reach Around Wrap Around Wrap It Up show called into a radio station and identified himself as Slappy.
Totally.
Slappy Russell with your update.
Makes sense.
619 number, what area in Coronado has underprivileged kids that need cleats? The Legacy Laces is not, that's where we go to a bar. Legacy Laces delivers all that stuff to the underprivileged area. So, no, Coronado's doing just fine on its own. 619 number, if the Padres get on a train at game 8 and ride until game 71 at 75 miles per hour for 162 miles, how many games will they win?
93.
619 number, Will Myers is going to be in the Padres Hall of Fame.
I agree.
Good grief.
I agree.
Should, just for what he's had to deal with. He's the last man standing. That deserves a Hall of Fame.
Will Myers is a survivor. Like, that's what his statue should say.
Survivor.
Statue? I mean, now Will's getting a statue?
Will's getting a statue.
It's going to be him when he breaks Nate Colbert's record.
Yes. Yes.
619 number, Myers has good hair in the front, needs a little touch up in the back. I've not noticed this.
I think he got his whole head, like, taken care of.
That's what I thought, too. That's.
He looks good.
It's a lot of hair.
He looks good. Looks happy.
619 number says, hey, it really is surprising that Tony Gwynn had 135 home runs. With how much contact he made, it seems he should have been well north of 200. Here's the thing about Tony Gwynn, though. He could have hit over 200 home runs. No doubt about it. Mm-hmm. He could have hit a lot more home runs. But other parts of his game would have dipped. That's what he chose to be. 619 number, Will Myers, great hair. You haven't seen the top of his head when he takes his helmet off?
Yeah.
I don't know what we're talking about here. What?
There's a little bit of space.
Is there?
Yeah.
There is?
Tiny bit.
I don't know.
The top of his head.
Doesn't look that way to me. 619 number says, Padres lineup looks as good as it's going to get without Fernando Tatis Jr. in the lineup. Padres are going to score 10 runs tonight. All right, 619 number, that's your best bet of the
that's
day.
A good
brought
best
to you
bet.
By Valley View Casino and Hotel.
We're going to come back to you on Monday.
714 number, I'm not listening live today. I'm going to listen later on the podcast. I'm just hoping that Slappy Russell is playing nothing but DMX coming in and out of breaks. Hashtag RIP DMX.
I failed you, 714 number.
I'm you sorry. Failed all of us, Jim.
I'm just I'm dropping the ball on that one today. I still can't believe that one, to be honest with you. But actually, I can't believe it.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
619 number, can fans watch SDSU baseball live at Tony Gwynn Stadium? That's a good question. I just texted Carruth. He hasn't texted
I think back. There's like a stream on the website on goasix.com.
But can thought, you go, though? I can you go all... sit outside, oh, get go. Some sun?
Yeah. I thought I just saw an email from San Diego State that they were going to open up attendance to fans. Limited.
Just not that Dodger scout.
Yeah. It's about that. Right. You've got to show proof of ID that you are a San Diego resident.
619 number, D. Smith show, over under career home runs for Tatis. If it's 400, which way are you going? 400? That's a lot of home runs, man. Shout out to the boy band having beers with the D. Smith Show at Bubs for a game day in August. Maybe before August. Maybe next week. Over under, Tatis, 400 home runs.
Oof. Just the under.
Like 396?
Yeah.
Under.
Just the under. Right there. Right there.
All right, here's a mean-spirited text. 503 number, bring back Jordan over Slappy and the Jorts. Wow.
Bring back Jordan.
Jordan ain't coming back.
Yeah, he's drinking beer. He's having way better time.
Why would he come back? The guy's eating tacos El Gordo and drinking beers at Three Punk Ales today. We're sitting here looking at the Masters. Yeah. Looking at the Dodgers.
What are we doing?
I don't know, man. He's figured it out. He's wise beyond his years, that kid. All right, we'll be back. Hour number three. Daniel Jeremiah, the NFL Network. An NFL draft preview coming up next.